Kingdom Exhortations. July 2025. Read by Stephen Keysweater.
Good morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is dealing with very serious and ongoing sin in the church at Corinth. The sin is so egregious that he demands the offender be removed entirely from the church and excommunicated. What's even more disturbing, the Corinthians were actually pleased with themselves and proud of their knowledge and tolerance of such an absurdity. How often do we, as believers in Jesus Christ, act in prideful ways, showing indifference to sinful habits in our lives and the lives of others? Quote, "It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that even pagans do not tolerate. A man is sleeping with his father's wife. And you are proud! Shouldn't you rather have gone into mourning and have put out of your fellowship the man who has been doing this?" 1 Corinthians 5, verses 1 and 2. Sadly, in many ways, this is a picture of the church of today. The church that Jesus lived and died for and rose again for is in vast disarray. By some estimates, we have more than 1,100 denominations in Christianity today. Many of these denominations, if not most, give little attention to the sin in the body of Christ. They refuse to address it and even refuse to preach and teach about it. Paul displays the opposite response. He is so indignant, he demands the man be, quote, "handed over to Satan," to be thrown back to the world and kept from all Christian community, removing the spiritual covering the body of Christ affords. Quote, "For my part, even though I am not physically present, I am with you in spirit. As one who is present with you in this way, I have already passed judgment in the name of our Lord Jesus on the one who has been doing this. So when you are assembled and I am with you in spirit and the power of our Lord Jesus is present, hand this man over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord." 1 Corinthians 5, verses 3 through 5. All of us ought to be on guard for areas in our life where we are not working to be more like Jesus. When we are indifferent or cavalier about our sin and shortcomings, it spreads in us like, quote, "yeast," and will slowly lead us to be less holy in other things. We become more tolerant and loose with sin, allowing more and more aspects of worldliness to creep into our lives. This leads us into such deception that we can actually become prideful and boastful about our tolerance for sin. This principle also applies to having fellowship with those claiming to be serious Christians, yet live in gross and unrepentant sin with no intention to change. We must always remember that Jesus died for us, not only for forgiveness and salvation, but also to set us free from a lifestyle of apathy and sin. Quote, "Your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast, so that you may be a new, unleavened batch, as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." 1 Corinthians 5, verses 6 and 7. Paul uses Old Testament imagery to remind us that we should be in a state of continual joy and thankfulness as we consider all that Jesus has done in living for us, dying for us, and rising from the dead. We should actually be in a consistent state of celebration. Just as the Israelites celebrated their deliverance from slavery in Egypt, we celebrate our deliverance from sin in Jesus Christ. How often do we have a party or gathering to celebrate Jesus? How often do you truly rejoice over the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ? Do you spend time daily thanking him for all he's done for you? With a heart of sincere thankfulness, we ought to be pursuing Jesus, laboring to be more like him as we turn away from evil and sinful behavior and increasingly walk in the truth. Quote, "Therefore, let us keep the festival, not with the old bread leavened with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." 1 Corinthians 5, verse 8. Paul goes on to bring clarity about previous instructions he had given the Corinthians regarding personal relationships. He makes it clear that we cannot and should not demand the same behavior from worldly unbelievers that we do from those that claim to be devout and serious followers of Christ. None of us walk in perfect holiness. We are all still very much sinful. If we claim to be serious Christians, however, we should have a lifestyle of earnest and consistent repentance over the sin in our lives. The more we practice genuine repentance, the more like Jesus we will become. Keep in mind, this is a slow process that takes time and patience. Quote, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral, or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world. But now I am writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or slanderer, a drunkard or swindler. Do not even eat with such people. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 9 through 11. Paul concludes the chapter by explaining that it is indeed our duty to hold one another accountable in the body of Christ. We are, in fact, quote, our brother's keeper. When someone is living a life of apathy or indifference to the things of Christ or falls into sin, we ought to come behind them and help them walk in genuine repentance, holiness, and Christ-centered devotion, making sure to have an attitude of love, mercy, and humility. Quote, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2. Only in the most extreme cases of unrepentant sin, as with the Corinthian man having ongoing sexual relations with his stepmother, do we separate ourselves from the person. Quote, what business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked person from among you. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 12 and 13. Let us go now and examine the sin in our own lives first, and then in the lives of those we are in close fellowship with. This should not be considered optional for us. The more we ignore ungodly and sinful habits, the more they will spread like, quote, yeast through every aspect of our life and walk with Jesus. Keep in mind that no one is perfect and sinless, but as Christians, we should hold one another more accountable than we do worldly people who have no interest in Jesus. When you recognize a particular sinful habit, simply and earnestly repent before Jesus, committing to clean it up without engaging in shame or guilt or condemnation. Quote, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, verse 1. As you grow in this discipline, you will become more empowered and effective in helping others in this process. Make an effort to grow in relationship with other serious believers in Jesus Christ, and look to form areas of accountability to help one another stay on track. Encourage each other in your walk with Christ. Set up times of fellowship and community, in person or on the phone, where you can share your failures and receive healing and encouragement. Quote, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Hebrews 3, verses 12 and 13. Finally, make it a daily priority to rejoice in Jesus and for Jesus, while encouraging others to do the same. When you have a party or gathering, bring Jesus up and all he's done, leading others to consider him and praise him. Simply put, the more we do these things, the better and more fulfilling every aspect of our life will become. Quote, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. May God bless you all. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 9.